Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
1-800-GHOST-TOWN. Call us now. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
You really want to know?
Okay, I was wondering who the father of my baby was.
All right, let's take a look. The Miss Cleo DNA test. I'm solely searching for the father of your baby. Oh, it's the one that's very unpleasant, okay?
Okay.
And he's also the one that had another girlfriend while he was sleeping with you.
Yes, he did.
Yep, that's him. That's the daddy.
Okay.
But you knew that.
I wasn't sure.
I don't know how. The baby looks just like him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so you were in denial. Because he has a funny little chin, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and the baby have that same little chin.
Oh, my God. Ooh.
The cards can reveal things that you will never see by yourself. Call me now for your free tarot reading.
Call 1-800-980-8637.
Now, I've been known to frequent a psychic every now and again. I've gone at points in my life where I'm like, oh, maybe this will give me some clarity. Maybe this will illuminate some parts of my life. But I really missed the whole, like, call in 1-800. But I do remember the Psychic Readers Network. Do you remember them?
Classic.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, when it comes to 1-800, I mean, it's right in my wheelhouse mm-hmm. of being susceptible to things. Not that I ever called, but mm-hmm. it was always, you know, there's like late chat, call, you know, yeah. call us now.
It was the age of the hotline. You know, yeah. it was the age of like, you're sitting there, it's 4 a.m., what are you going to do? You got a phone.
Appealing to people, you know, that's how they market it. It's like, what mm-hmm. are you doing right now? Nothing. If you're yeah. up watching this, then you're susceptible.
Something's up with you. You're missing something in your life. Do you want to call a party line, which I always thought would be fun. I think there still are party lines that you can call. Yeah. You can call, you can get a appliance. You can
I mean, call. QVC is still huge, yeah. and that's got to be, you know, the mecca.
Very true.
Of-
and I remember moving out here, and we have a friend, Zabeth Russell, who worked for this company, California Psychics.
Oh, I you know, I was going to work for them.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people from iOS, the theater we performed at, were yeah. working there. And I remember talking, I was like, oh, hey, how does this, you know, how does it, you know, looking for employment.
Yeah.
My qualifications? breathing, willing.
A pulse in the area. Yeah. So California Psychics was the big one when I came out here and I was like, oh, okay, totally. I get this is still prevalent. This is a total sham if my unemployed friends who live in deep NoHo are doing it and making money off of it. Anyways, Beth has a really funny story about kind of getting flung into it. And it reminded me a lot, too, of working as a phone sex operator way back when. Like, the same types of mechanics are used in these things. But the mother of all of these things, like the mothership of all call-ins, psychics or not, is the Psychic Readers Network, which was led, or the front woman was Uri Del Harris, also known as Miss Cleo.
Do you remember? It's interesting because Rebecca texted me this morning that we were doing this, and she's like, oh no, Swindled already did this episode. But this is, and Swindled did an amazing job, so definitely mm-hmm. check that out.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's far more comprehensive.
It's probably way more robust and interesting and compelling, but I feel like Miss Cleo, it was culturally so relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's room.
There's room.
For both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's our Halloween. We're in the Halloween drag right now. We want to give you a different side of things. This is certainly something we haven't explored very much and still feels like it's a part of what we do, our you know, zeitgeist. But I'm going to listen. I'm going to binge the Swindled one after this and see if our facts line up, which they absolutely will. Of course they will. We are fact-checking the shit out of this.
Our fact checkers over there just crunching
they're
away.
They're my little cat's little paws yeah. and her little tiny keyboard. She's getting it right. So trust us with everything, including your money. Patreon.com. Is that early? Is it too early?
No, it's good. I think right now is good.
Patreon.com/ghosttown?
Nope. Patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Ghost town pod.
You have people giving away money to probably something better.
No.
But But you get bonus episodes.
I'm so embarrassed.
There'll be some more bonus Halloween stuff. I'm not going to tell you about it right now, but it will be up before Halloween is over that we actually did today.
Yes, we did. This is going to be chock full of Halloween content.
There's going to be some weird, cool stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to put some of it for Patreon only. Uh-huh. And it helps us support the show. Like the thing we did today costs us a lot of money out of pocket.
I mean, so we love it. We love spending money.
We love doing it. We love throwing money away. So if you want to help us out, patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Ghost Town Pod.
Yeah. 1-800 Ghost Town Pod, baby.
Oh my God. Anyway, so from 1997 to 2003, the Psychic Readers Network was a big thing. And it was really a big thing because it had this iconic front woman, Miss Cleo. And I didn't know much before I started researching this episode for Miss Cleo, about Miss Cleo, about her. But oh my God, so much has happened. So Yuri Del Harris was born at Los Angeles County Hospital, all right?
You heard that right. LA County, baby.
She was not born anywhere in the Caribbean
born in Jamaica
Haiti or anything like that. No. She was born at LA County Hospital on August 12th, 1962 to a Catholic Caribbean family. So, okay. Yeah. Give her that. But it was a middle-class family. She went to an all-girls boarding school. She got married in 1981 at 19 years old. Gave birth to a daughter, divorced at 21. She does things pretty quickly, too. Like, she's lived a lot of lives. Past lives, future lives, current lives, whatever. She had a second daughter in her late 20s. In 1996, her and her partner, which I didn't find out much about, moved to Seattle and opened a theater company. Because really what she was into was acting. And all of this, knowing that,
it makes total sense.
The foundations of this. Yeah. Absolutely.
The performance aspect of a lot of things. Even, you know, what we're doing right now and a lot of true crime podcasts, it's all needs to be delivered in a way that is somewhat entertaining but with things backing it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some authenticity backing it up.
Exactly. Hopefully it's a nice mix of us being tolerable and facts. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, so she opened a theater company in Seattle where she wrote and produced plays. She also acted in her first project, an autobiographical play called For Women Only, which I tried to get a hold of. The script, it's nowhere. In fact, there's not a lot of concrete information, but her birth certificate is online. So she was born. That's for real. Anyway, For Women Only was about her life, but apparently it was also the debut of this Miss Cleo type character. Like, it was her. It was, I assume, someone from her family or some likening back to her Caribbean roots. But that's kind of where we first see this, which is completely co-opted by Psychic Readers Network. So her last project in Seattle was called Supper Club Cafe. That was in 1997. It was not successful. And this is where we see her cheating the people around her pretty readily. She left town with a trail of debts and broken promises, according to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Some of her productions claim they were never paid. She told people that she had bone cancer and that she would pay them as soon as she got a hold of her medical costs, and she'd do it immediately. She also wrote everybody a personal note detailing how much she owed them, how much many of her debts went to them, and that she was going to pay it. She promised she would do that, and then she fled town to Los Angeles, back to her roots. You know?
I mean, this is like the GoFundMe for back then.
Exactly. What she did. It was just letter writing. Yeah.
Which makes things, oh, well, if you bothered to write a letter, because the internet was, you know, up and running, it wasn't as robust as it is now.
No, and you're in a theater company in Seattle, and you're like, oh, we're all in this together. I think we're all struggling artists. One of them has bone cancer, maybe. I don't know if she used. I'd love to hear the bone cancer. When people fake cancer, they go in deep.
I
want to know how
and
much.
Who are you
to
say
character.
Prove it?
Yeah, no, you're not. You're a dick if you say prove it. Yeah. Just like if you're guy you're dating's dog dies. What are you going to say? Prove it? Show me the body of the dog?
Some people get close to doing that.
Anyway, that's not for my personal experience at all. Anyway, moving on. So in the 1990s, she was in L.A. working for the Psychic Readers Network under the name Cleo. That's where that first came about. She appeared as a television infomercial psychic in which she claimed she was a mystical shaman from Jamaica. Now, I don't know what came first. This is like a chicken or egg thing. I wonder if she, she was called to audition to be in the commercial and then started working for the service, if she ever worked for the service, because I can see both happening, honestly. But I'm not sure what was what.
The service is pretty shady,
yeah,
from what I recall.
I mean, nowadays, I'm sure if we saw something in any media, and they were like, psychics. So, like, back in the day, it was like crystals, like bad animation, like space, you know, like all of that imagery.
Well, it's still really successful if you look at televangelists that are still
true
by this water, this blessed water. It's still, unfortunately, very rampant.
Yes.
And criminal.
Yeah, absolutely criminal and very misleading, honestly. I remember maybe some disclaimers, but really they hit home the fact that they are going to help you with everything, that they have these people that are qualified to do this. And part of it is that they also are like, we're going to give you X amount for free. And then they charge you after that. Or like, that was a big thing about Psychic Readers Network, which we'll get to. So remember, Miss Cleo is from California. Her employer's website blatantly lied. So Psychic Readers Network spun this whole tale about her being from Trelawney, Jamaica, growing up there, being part of a many line of mystics. So already that's really egregiously misleading. Illegal, I would say. Not misleading. That's like the best case scenario. Psychic Readers Network is said to have coined the title and identity of Miss Cleo, and the persona was used in email lists, ads, to hook you into buying these fake psychic services. Sorry, not fake. Who knows? Definitely fake. Charges of deceptive advertising and fraud from the Psychic Readers Network began to surface, many of which were that Miss Cleo didn't answer the phone. A lot of the time she'd be like, I will personally take your call. But instead they would have associates, whatever, take your call, be like,
I mean, it could have been you or I if you were in the right.
Yeah, I mean, a couple steps, a couple credit checks away from both of us being working for this site. Absolutely. The actors were reading from scripts, and there were some calls that were promoted as free, like I said, that became not free, you know, or they got billed after the fact.
It was also timed where it was like you get the first 3 minutes free, but by the time they got the, you know, critical information or whatever, and then by the time that happened, you're in the billable part of it.
And that is just like being a phone sex operator, where you get a certain amount of time for free.
Right, so that's what you were.
There's a lot of parallels in, at least with phone sex, you're getting a service. You're getting it right then. But I guess it's not that far off also, because you're getting peace of mind through calling this.
I will say that, you know, even before we read it, so I don't seem like a complete dud. if people do any of these things and they gain a benefit for them and it makes them feel better, I mean, depending on the case, it's like, okay, well then what harm is it? They are getting the value that they...
Yes. Well,
if I take a multivitamin, which I love vitamins, and we can get into a long argument, who knows what it's actually doing?
Yeah.
But if I take it, it makes me feel better, and some company's markup is whatever, that's for me to rectify, and who are we to argue that?
Exactly. And I think similarly with psychic services, I think if it makes you feel good, amazing. It's done its job.
Unless your phone bill is $8,000, and maybe you might not.
High price to pay for feeling good. But I also, like, do you believe in psychics?
I'm a huge skeptic when it comes to it, but I do feel like there's people that probably can feel and sense things better than other people can feel and sense things.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I think there's just people that are just better at it, or
like more energetically aware. Intuitive.
Like, there's people that are probably that have seen me and they're just like, oh, are you sad? And I think I'm putting on the biggest poker face, and I'm like, wow, how did you know? And there's other people that are just like, hey, what's up, dude? You ready to party? I do believe there is something to that, but who am I to say?
Yeah. And I think there have been a lot of times where a psychic has said something that really, I was like, how did you know that? Like, holy shit, what? But as many, if not more times where they said something and you're like, no, that doesn't really resonate with me either. So like, who knows?
There's something with January, February.
January Jones?
March.
Am I
March.
January Jones?
I see April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November.
December. You said, and then she said October and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I love the idea of something we don't know, or some kind of energetic communication that we don't know. That being said, Psychic Readers Network is not that. Miss Cleo is not that. In fact, in 2001, Access Resource Services, which is the main company, was doing business, and they had lawsuits coming in from Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Missouri, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Florida, and the Federal Communications Commission. They were getting into it.
Tons of violations.
Party's over, baby. Yeah. Psychic Wolves of Wall Street.
Yeah. Tons of fraud.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Mm. In 2002, the Federal Trade Commission charged the company's owners and Harris's promoters.
There's our helicopter.
It's like clockwork now.
I knew it was coming.
What? Here's my money. He knew. Charged the company's owners and Harris's promoters, Stephen Fetter and Peter Stotz. Now, I actually worked with a guy named Stephen Fetter who he hired me to write a web series, and then he didn't pay me the $2,000, whatever he offered. And I was like, is he part of this thing? My brain was already going there, and I went down a Google wormhole. I don't think that this Stephen Fetter is the same as that Stephen Fetter. But hey, if it were, that would make this podcast very exciting.
Yeah.
It's not. Anyway, with deceptive advertising, billing, and collecting practices, Harris was not indicted. The Psychic Readers Network had billed its victims for an estimated $1 billion. Her promoters agreed to settle by erasing $500 million of debt owed by... they keep saying victims in a lot of the things that I've... It's not really victims. The patrons, we'll say, to Psychic Readers Network by paying... They've paid a $5 million fine to the Federal Trade Commission, so they were trying to make up their debts. They had a lawsuit, too, that Harris was misrepresented in that she was not born in the Caribbean. She was born in Los Angeles, and that her parents were U.S. citizens. So that all came out in court. We know exactly who she is. But there was life after the Psychic Readers Network. Harris voiced the character Auntie Poulet in the 2002 video game Grand Theft Auto Vice City. So if you found her familiar, maybe you're a little bit younger, past this time, you may know her voice from that. I don't know. She's still working. She wrote a book called Keeping It Real, A Practical Guide for Spiritual Living, which is pretty hilarious after all of those lawsuits. In 2003, the New York Daily News reported that TV music network Fuse had signed Harris as a spokeswoman. I don't know anything about that beyond that. In early 2005, Harris was reportedly appearing on television as Miss Cleo in advertisements used for a car dealership in Florida. She's still making it work. In 2006, she came out as a lesbian, another turn of events. In 2014, using the name Cleo Millie Harris, she spoke about her experiences at the Psychic Readers Network in a documentary titled Hotline, which focused on telephone relationships between strangers. I checked out this trailer. I couldn't get the full movie, but it seemed very dated. Even for 2014, to be honest. I was like, was this made in 2001 or something? We still talking about this?
Hello, Budge.
The internet is here. So why? In 2015, Harris came back to her classic role as Miss Cleo in a series of advertisements for French Toast Crunch, which is probably my favorite and probably a great little icing on the cake for this. The Psychic Readers Network fought back, saying that it owned the character of Miss Cleo, and the advertisements got cut from the air. Unfortunately, Harris developed colon cancer, which eventually spread. She died following a long illness on July 26, 2016, at age 53. I want to thank Seattle PI, TMZ, The Smoking Gun, The Washington Post for all of this info. And I think, I mean, I can't see the future. But I do want to say right now, I'd love for us to end this with the French Toast Crunch commercial with Miss Cleo.
Go on, babies. Miss Cleo is back. Now, do you have silverware, sweet pea?
Oh my gosh, I do.
I sent you up something other than a knife and a fork.
I have a spoon. How did you know?
Now I have a vision that you are going to take that spoon and scoop up a bite of French Toast Crunch. Oh, cinnamony and maple syrupy.
I can't believe you see all that.
French Toast Crunch is back and I predict you'll love it. Eat it now.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.